Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Well, welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. Let me give you the two contacts in order to reach me. Telephone 939-333-1010 and webpage, which is Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez. You can get the recordings of past programs and information on the program. It's our mission, etc. And contact, and if you want to be a sponsor. So thank you for joining me. Let's get moving. About Wednesday of last week, there was a obituary, Skela, ¿verdad? In Nuevo Día, 25th of February, on José Luis Ramírez Irizarry, who died, passed away on the 18th of February. And I was kind of struck by it because this is a very special person in my life. Even though on a personal basis, we did not go beyond dealing professionally, and of course, when you deal with someone for many years, you develop a friendship. But it's a professional friendship. It's not where I've got to know his family, his children, his home, you know, his hobbies. It was concentrated on the professional relationship, and he worked without interruption with the Economic Development Administration, Fomento, in the old days, from 1965 to 2008. And he started in tax exemption office and then Fomento, developing the Puerto Rico Industrial Development Company, as it's known today, but still people call it Fomento. It always had a good sound for both us in Puerto Rico as well as for the industrialists from around the world who came to establish their operations in Puerto Rico. Very quickly he became general counsel, the chief lawyer for Fomento, and it was basically in that particular position that I interacted with him for many, many years, because at my law firm, McConnell Valdez, I would say about 65% of my practice had to do with fomenting, bringing, attracting industrialists to Puerto Rico, to establish in Puerto Rico, and then helping them with all that is needed, incorporating, registering, really, because they were almost always foreign and operated under usually Delaware law, or there were Germans and Swiss, etc. But basically getting them registered and established to do business in Puerto Rico, dealing with either the purchase of property, if they're going to, especially later on, the pharmaceuticals and the electronics, like Hewlett-Packard, purchase properties and developed, in many cases, campuses, beautiful campuses in various parts of the Puerto Rico, all over Puerto Rico, Aguadilla and Ponce and up in the mountains. And so that was my then, of course, is the tax exemption grant and incentives that Puerto Rico gives, and then dealing with all the other aspects of, coordinating aspects of environmental and labor and tax and all the different things a person or an entity, coming to Puerto Rico and establishing in Puerto Rico. And my contacts with these industrialists often commence in attracting them. There were different teams during my time, composed of sometimes the bank and sometimes accountant, or engineers, and we would go throughout the United States mostly, and give seminars to track entities that were considering Puerto Rico. Some of them just the first, they didn't even know where Puerto Rico was, and some of them very sophisticated, had really studied intensely the situation, met with people, had met with Fomento in the United States and in Puerto Rico, and they were basically at the last, portion of their decision making to come to Puerto Rico. So you had to straddle those two kinds of persons in the audience that we were addressing. But anyway, it was an important, clear part of my practice, and it was an important, clear part of McConnell Valdez representing all these companies. Later on, in the late 70s, the tax exemption also covered service industries, entities that established in Puerto Rico and other export their services. So it also included, not industrialists, but service entities. And so this was all coordinated to a great extent through the General Consul Jose Luis Ramirez, and I wanted to just go over some of the values that he represented, and that were really important, in terms of relationships that he had with so many people, and that are important in terms of how economic development took place and should take place, and unfortunately, it has been eroded somewhat. So the first thing that always comes to mind, of course, is the consistency, the continuity, throughout all of those years. There he was, in more or less the same position. As administrators change, we went from 100% exemption from municipal license and property and income to partial exemption, and we went from Commonwealth Popular administrations to new progressive statehood administrations. He had different administrators who had different strategies and under different, governors with their strategies and very, very different personalities that he had to navigate, let's say, as the changes took place. And then throughout all those years, regardless of who the administrator was and what the administration was in power at that particular time, Jose Luis was the point person in terms of following through in the negotiations of whatever were the issues that we had pending a company may want at that particular time. And it was not only negotiating the position of the administrator of Fomento, which was the one of the really, really quite critical. But there were other players in this particular game that at different moments took on important roles. But throughout all the position, of course, Treasury was absolutely critical. And he had to deal with Treasury and decision as to whether he was going to be the point person dealing with the issues with Treasury and obtaining Treasury's position, favorable or unfavorable. And he was a point person at given moments, the Office of Tax Exemption, which was the office that actually signed and processed these different grants and amendments of the grants and dissolution, terminations of grants, etc. And then, depending on how involved the governor was, or the aide of the governor's office had to deal with Fortaleza. And through all of this years, regardless of all these changes of all these different people, and they change continuously, sometimes in the same year, there was Jose Luis steadfastly dealing with this important role, and I always admired that ability to be able to deal and be loyal with such changes that took place throughout all those years. And I started because when I entered McConnell Valdez, I was in taxes, but you know, not dealing with tax exemption, just learning the whole role. And that was about a year and a half. And then I went to litigation for about a year and a half, or a year, a year and a half, and continued some. But basically, around 1972, I moved to the corporate world, and the person I worked under, Robert Bob Griggs. A great portion of his practice was in tax exemption, and that portion he passed on to me, and he was my mentor, and we developed, that particular process. I said got probably about 65% of my legal work at McConnell Valdez. So from 72 to 2008, I interacted with Jose Luis. And you know, not only were there changes, of course, in Puerto Rico, new different tax exemption laws and different strategies, very, very different strategies, there were also challenges in the U.S. as we went from Section 931 and then in the 76 to Section 936, that substituted 931. And the challenges that we had as Treasury balked and opposed certain aspects of our tax exemption program, and there he was in all of that, dealing with the U.S. version and challenges on it. So it required a mastery of all of these different laws, and more importantly, incredible emotional intelligence to deal with all variety of people and professionals, and dealing with different companies that were interested in Puerto Rico. And as you can imagine, the focus of a company and their particular executives could be from the U.S., it could be from Puerto Rico, depending on how the local management had grown. Little by little, it became more local, more Puerto Rican than full. But dealing with the plethora of executives from wide variety of companies. And one of the things I admired, and it was one of the values I had, is they give an importance whether it was a shoe and brassiere girdle company, very highly and labor intensive and very low capital. You always in a lease situation, to very, very sophisticated pharmaceuticals and electronic companies. So incredible amount of versatility in dealing with all of this thing. The other aspect, and let me just give a story because I've always enjoyed, and in terms of the kinds of administrators that were there, and I don't want to give the last name, but let's say Administrator C would be a person who would very, very aggressive from the very beginning. It was kind of a no, and that doesn't make any sense, and there's no way we can consider that. Ironically, eventually, after we worked and worked around, probably gave us more than we initially requested. And then there was Administrator, M, and this was within the same political, administration. This was who was very congenial. Yes, I certainly understand. Certainly, I'm going to be with you 100% on this thing. You can count on me, etc. But you know, I have different persons that I have to convince, and Treasury and Fortaleza and the tax exemption office, and I just don't think we're going to be successful if we go with what's being suggested. And I will go with what you suggest. We'll fight for this, but let's see if we can work out something that will make my life a little easier, you know. And then he would come up with something that diddled the client, and the client would be, you know, super happy. Would come out, you know, what a great person. And the person that eventually gave us more than we requested, even at the end, you know, there was antagonism and all. So, these are the kinds of things where there you are as a general counsel dealing with these kinds of different ways of personalities and ways of negotiating. But throughout all these cases, as I said, he was always loyal, and the administrators counted on him, and he was delegated on him to push through what they were seeking, and gave him the flexibility to achieve the solutions and all. What was I gonna say in terms of his the values that he emitted was known for. He was confident. He knew his stuff. He knew where he was headed. He knew what needed to be done, but yet he never exuded overconfidence or he was humble. He gave the impression that of competence, yet humility and willingness to listen and to reach a solution that was amicable and good for both parties. We run out of time in the first segment. Let's take a pause, and I want to then go into some of the other values. And the reason for this is what makes a professional, valuable and respected. And also, I want to sort of reflect on the end, the funeral, and who goes to the funeral, and what are the person's saying about the particular disease. So this is George Gonzalez, your host in Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.